And I think the choir did a very good job. And I think the lyrics that were in your bulletin are something that you can keep handy and refer back to. And praying is the only thing that is going to help us today. Amen. I'm going to be reading from John 16, 5 through 16. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and for this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. The Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he left, didn't leave us alone. He left us with the Holy Spirit. And that's that part of God that lives in our hearts, that communication link between us and God, the way that God talks to us, whispers in our ears, and lets us know the right things and the right way to do. Author Dennis Rainey tells about an exercise he does with his sixth grade Sunday school class every year. He gets some jigsaw puzzles together, and these 12-year-olds are scattered around the room in groups of three. He gives the first group, he dumps the contents of the puzzle on the floor and gives them the box. Then he goes to the second group, he dumps the pieces of second puzzle on the floor and gives them a box top. What the group doesn't know is that box top is for another puzzle. The third group is given the same puzzle pieces, but it doesn't get a box top. And usually the kids in this group would start to protest, but he reminds them there will be no talking. And here's what happens. Group one is somewhat frustrated by not being allowed to talk, but it still makes steady progress. Group two keeps trying to use the picture on the box, but since it doesn't match the puzzle, it doesn't work. And since they can't talk to each other or say anything to him, they get rather frustrated. The group members look at the teacher with pleading eyes, and pretty soon the box goes flying across the room. The third group is kind of interesting because they have nothing to guide them. They kind of do their own thing. Well, if you've ever tried to put a puzzle together without a box top, it's probably not going to happen. So they get frustrated, and they finally give up and just lie down on the floor. Well, Dennis Rainey asks, am I a cruel Sunday school teacher? And he says, no. There is a point to what he has them do that day. Life, marriages, and families are like pieces of a puzzle. The pieces are all there for us, but something is needed to help us bring order out of the chaos, guidance in a time of chaos. Some of you may remember the passenger jet, the Korean Airlines Flight 007, that was shot down after mistakenly wandering into Soviet airspace. This was close to the last days of the Cold War, so if you violated somebody's airspace, they were coming after you. Well, the problem was they stopped for fuel in Alaska and made a navigational error when they put the numbers into their navigation system, their autopilot, and 269 innocent people died because the Soviet pilot shot down that commercial airliner. They didn't have guidance. They had entered the wrong numbers in their navigation system, and so it continually went the wrong way and barely got into Soviet airspace, and 269 innocent people died because there was no guidance. The American Associated Press tells another story about the Texas prison system. And in the Texas prison system, in their libraries, besides the fact that they're not allowed to have the pornography and the hate magazines or hate material, they do not allow the Texas prison libraries to have an almanac. And you might think to yourself, why? What's so bad about the almanac? Well, the problem is they discovered that in the almanac, the maps are so detailed that they felt that they would give the prisoners help if they ever tried to escape. The director of the prison system in Texas, he says that map would be of great assistance if they ever got over the wall. If they ever got outside, it would help them to get wherever they needed to go. So they don't allow them to have almanacs in their libraries. But now the Dallas Morning News, who publishes this almanac, didn't get upset about it. They actually used it as a marketing opportunity. They ran an advertisement that said, "The powers that be feared that inmates might use the detailed county maps to plot escape routes. And we're not making this up. If the maps are so good prisoners aren't allowed to read them, imagine what they can do for you." So they kind of turned it around. But if you escape from prison, not knowing where you are, in most cases, you need all the help you can get. So they did not want them to have the guidance of those detailed maps. In our lesson from John's Gospel this morning, Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." And that's our guidance as Christians, that Holy Spirit. All we need to do is ask in the form of prayer. Drop down to your knees, or you don't necessarily have to drop down to your knees. You can pray standing up, respectfully. But pray to God, and He will give you guidance. He will send that guidance through the Holy Spirit to you. Gordon MacDonald tells a funny story about his wife and him who were going to this dinner party, didn't know where they were going, got lost. They happened to notice a police officer on the side of the road. So they pulled over and they asked this police officer if he could tell them how to get to this place they were going. And he goes, "Well, you go down two more lights, turn right, go to a fork in the road where you bear left, go two stop signs, or is it three? No, wait, here's an easier way. Make a U-turn and go back to that little shopping mall back there. You know, the one with the gas station on the corner. Turn left there and just follow the road down to the ocean. It makes several turns, and you have to be careful not to." "Well, no. He says, "Go back the first way. That's probably the better way." Go down, and then he stops and thinks. He goes, "Oh, why don't I just take you there? Just follow me and stick close." So Gordon MacDonald says that they followed him. They stuck close. And he said that it occurred to him as they were following this police officer to get to where they were going and sticking close to him, that that is the same invitation that Christ gives to us. Follow me and stick close to me. That's what Christ wants us to do. He doesn't want us to miss any turns. He doesn't want us to miss opportunities. He doesn't want us to lose something. He wants us to follow Him very closely. Jesus knew that the apostles were in kind of a hostile world, and we live in a hostile world today, especially to Christians outside the church and even inside the church. We live in a hostile world. They needed that power of guidance. They needed something to lead them, because Jesus would no longer be with them in the flesh. He would not be there physically. He had to return to the Father. Of course, we know that he is actually a part of the Father, being the Trinity. But he wanted them to understand that he wasn't abandoning them, that he was sending them the Holy Spirit, someone who would guide them in their lives, someone who would give them power. It's kind of like you get a thought in your head you can't get rid of, and if you ignore it, something goes wrong. If you pay attention to it, things go right. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God whispering in your ear through the Holy Spirit. You need to do this, or you need to do that, or don't go over here, don't go over there. If you will relax and open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you through life. Because we live in a crazy world, a very crazy world. A while back, they arrested a robber in Washington, D.C. He'd been robbing liquor stores all over town. And the odd thing was, he only robbed these stores during the day. Which you would think, somebody that's going to rob a place, they usually do it at night so they can steal away in the darkness. So the police were kind of curious, why were you just robbing liquor stores during the day? And the man looked at the police officer and he said, are you kidding? It isn't safe to be on the streets at night with this much money. We live in a crazy world. All kinds of strange things happen around us. David Myers, in a book, The Pursuit of Happiness, writes that from 1957 to 1990, the per capita income in the U.S. more than doubled. But the number of Americans who reported being very happy remained the same. All the advances we've seen in medical science, all the achievements in technology, all the increase in material wealth and prosperity has not supplied us with the answer to that yearning in our hearts, the fulfillment that we're looking for, the happiness. All these things that we've gained over the past 30 or 40 years have not helped us be happier people. We've got fuller prisons, more people committing suicide, more people on antidepressants. There are broken marriages all over that we never saw 40 years ago. All this prosperity has not helped us. Because the only thing that can really help us is prayer and the Holy Spirit, which gives us guidance. We live in a confusing world, and we need that guidance. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Michael Walther tells of listening to Focus on the Family one night about a test pilot, a fighter pilot. He was getting ready to land at this airport, and the air traffic controller radioed him and said, how much fuel have you got? He says, oh, I've got plenty of fuel. Why? He says, well, we've got a problem. He says, there's a young pilot who is not instrument rated, and he's lost in the clouds and can't find the airport. Can you help him? Pilot says, sure. So he flies around a little bit and locates this young pilot. Gets up alongside of him and radios him and says, listen, it's going to be okay. He says, I'm going to get out in front of you, 100 yards or so, and he says, follow me. Make every turn that I make, and when we start descending, just follow me. He says, I'll be very gentle about it. He says, we'll make smooth curves, and everything's going to be okay. And the young man was so thankful, he got back on the radio, and he says, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I thought I was going to die. And as they moved towards the airport, and he followed this fighter pilot, they dropped below the clouds finally, and he saw the airport, and he was absolutely thrilled because now he could land, because this pilot led him along the way. And that's exactly how the Spirit is. He leads us along the way. He takes gentle curves, and doesn't allow the surprises if we just focus on Him and follow Him to where we need to be. There's a man named Max Perkins, who you may not be familiar with the name. He was the chief editor for Charles Scribner's publishing company. This is a man who made a lot of authors famous, like F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Thomas Wolfe. This was a man who could take a 1,000-page transcript and tell them, you need to leave this in and take this out and arrange it this way, and it'll be great. And these authors trusted him to make those changes and reorganize things the way they needed to be. And they became famous authors because, again, his guidance, which is the same guidance we look for in Christ. We depend on Christ. We look for that guidance in our daily lives. If you look in their hymnal, we normally do the Apostles' Creed, which is number 881. There's another one in there at number 884. It's the Korean Creed. And in the Korean Creed, it says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. I mean, they don't go into a whole lot of detail. They just talk about guidance, comfort, and strength. So let's start with the guidance part of it. Whether it shows or not, I pray every Saturday night and Sunday morning, God use me to speak to the congregation, to tell them what they need to hear, and in the way that they need to hear it. And I open myself up, I hope I open myself up, for the Holy Spirit to use me as a vessel to talk to you. And I may not be the best vessel in the world, but I hope that He does use me, and I hope that you do hear what you need to hear. That's guidance. That's the Holy Spirit working through me to guide you. There's a young girl who was watching her minister dad work on his sermon for the next Sunday. She said, Daddy, does God tell you what to say? Well, yes, dear, He does. Why? She says, well, I was just wondering why you crossed so much of it out. We don't always follow our notes. I don't always follow my notes. Sometimes things pop into my head that I feel like I need to say. And again, that to me is the Holy Spirit. Because God knows what you need to hear at any given time. God knows what will lift you up, not just in church, but say a bereaving family, for example. We say prayers for the family. And I don't remember what I say when I say prayers. I just say prayers. And families will come up to me afterwards and say, I really needed to hear that. Well, that wasn't me talking. That was the Holy Spirit talking to them because He knew what they needed. And that's what the guidance is all about. There's a lady named Peggy whose Sunday school teacher had broke her leg. Wasn't able to get up and move around. So she thought, I'll do something special for her. She says, I've got plenty of brown sugar. I'll make a brown sugar pound cake. But as she got ready to make this brown sugar pound cake, for some reason, a lemon cheesecake popped into her mind. And she thought, that's weird, because I don't have the stuff to make lemon cheesecake, but I can sure make a brown sugar pound cake. But the thought in her head wouldn't go away. She kept thinking about this lemon cheesecake. Kept being nudged. So she went to the store. She got the things she needed, lemons and whatever else goes with it. She very carefully cut the lemons, removed the seeds, and squeezed the juice into the batter and made this lemon cheesecake. When she arrived at the Sunday school teacher's home, her husband answered the door and said, she'll be glad to see you. And he led her back to the bedroom. He says, because she's been bedridden and it's just killing her that she can't get up and do the things she normally does in a day. When she walked into the bedroom, she said, oh, I'm so sorry about your leg, as she laid the cheesecake down. Maybe this will make you feel better. And as she placed that cake on the table, that lemon scent kind of wafted up into the room. And the Sunday school teacher, she smelled that and started crying, tears running down her face. She looked at Peggy and she said, "How did you know?" Peggy looked at her like, "Know what?" "Today is our wedding anniversary," she said, "and for the past 55 years, I've baked my husband his favorite thing, a lemon cheesecake." God present with us for guidance and for comfort. Those thoughts that you get in your head are there for a reason. Because God is trying to guide you through the Holy Spirit. He helps us through our doubt and despair. He helps us in the dark times of our life. He helps us physically and mentally. He guides us and lifts us up, moves us in the direction we need to go. We need to feel the Holy Spirit. We need to latch on to the Holy Spirit more. People always joke about how Methodists are quiet and subdued people. And I hear people tell me sometimes, "You know, you said something in a sermon and I wanted to say amen, but being in a Methodist church, I didn't dare." Well, if the Spirit moves you to say amen, do it. If we get loud and obnoxious in the church, so what? Maybe somebody will walk in front of the church and hear all the noise, all the spiritual noise, and want to come inside. If the Holy Spirit leads you, follow it. If the Holy Spirit leads you to speak up in church, speak up in church. Nobody's going to think anything of it. You're not going to get funny looks. That's the Spirit guiding you. And as you go through your daily lives, the Spirit will guide you through everything that you do. The little things to the big things. I tell people sometimes when gas prices are up and down all the time, when I was working in Bowling Green, I'd drive by this gas station and I'd get the thought popped in my head, "You better stop and get some gas." And I thought, "I've got plenty of gas," and went on to work. Well, by that afternoon, when I left work, it had gone up 25 cents a gallon. And if I'd have listened to the Holy Spirit, I could have saved some money. So even those little insignificant things, the Holy Spirit's trying to help you. And He will help you through the little things and the big things. All you have to do is listen. And when you're having trouble standing up to life, fall down on your knees and pray, and the Holy Spirit will come to you and tell you what you need to do. Amen.